began in a dark basement in Islington.
Martin Hanley on Malcolm Arnold.
Arnold was bearing his soul in this music.
Sarah Moore Peach on Hildegard of Bingham.
A Renaissance figure before the word was even invented.
The Essay, starting on Monday with Sarah Walker, on a composer whose music has particularly inspired her, John White.
He doesn't need anyone's approval for what he does, so he writes where his heart leads him.
Secret Admirers. Every weeknight at 10:45 here on BBC Radio 3.
Well, looking ahead to midnight tonight, Geoffrey Smith's Jazz, and tonight a showcase of Lee Morgan, a trumpet prodigy who won crossover stardom with his 1964 hit, The Sidewinder. That's Geoffrey Smith's Jazz, midnight tonight. That's here on BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and also online. It's 6 o'clock now, time for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello. On today's show, a very special session from the BBC's historic Maida Vale studios, featuring the James Taylor Quartet with special guest trumpeter Nick Smart. Plus, Kevin Legendre is here for our regular monthly feature, Now's the Time. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Julian.
Well, what album from recent times have you unearthed for us this month, and why this one?
Tenor and soprano saxophonist Dennis Baptiste released an album in 2001 called Alternating Currents. His second album as a leader, and I was listening to it the other day and I thought it had aged particularly well, still sounding very good. So this is the choice this month.
Thanks, Kevin, and more music from Dennis Baptiste later on the show. First up, let's get things in motion with tenor saxophonist Julian Arguiles. The lineup is packed with talent. Longtime collaborators Martin France and John Taylor fill the drums and piano chairs, with bass legend Dave Holland completing the group. This is the title track, Circularity. We'll be right back. Circularity from the British supergroup session led by saxophonist Julian Arguiles. Circularity is out this week on the Cam Jazz label. Well, from a new and yet familiar lineup to a completely new collaboration released on the Whirlwind Recordings label by guitarist Joel Harrison and Anupam Shobhakar, who plays the sarod, which can be described as a cross between a sitar and a fretless banjo. The blend between sarod and guitar works beautifully, and the combination of rhythmic and harmonic influences mixes well. This is Madhuvanti. Thank you. Madhuvanti from Joel Harrison and Anupam Shabakar. Gary Versace is on piano, Hans Gleswinick is on bass, and Dan Weiss is on drums. Multiplicity is out now on the prolific Whirlwind Recordings label, and if you like what you hear, Joel and Anupam will be touring this ensemble in the UK later on in the year. Well, the James Taylor Quartet are affectionately referred to as the JTQ, and are the stuff of legends on the British music scene. At the forefront of a movement that would gain the familiar handle acid jazz, leader James Taylor laid the groundwork for the jazz-funk re-explosion that created the environment for bands like Jamiroquai, Brand New Heavies, and many others. The urgent sound of the organ that both looks back and forward is a testament to the group's appeal and longevity. And let me introduce you to the members. Mark Cox is on guitar, Andrew McKinney is on the bass, Pat Illingworth is on drums, and the leader, James Taylor, plays the Hammond B3 organ. A little later on, they'll be joined by a special guest. So, let's hear them now with their first piece. This is Song for My Dad. Thank you. Song for My Dad from the James Taylor Quartet. And James Taylor is the organist, and I'm very happy to be speaking with him. Tell us about the guys who are playing with you.
This is a fantastic lineup. It's the lineup that has worked better than any lineup I've ever played with. So we've got Andrew McKinney on bass, who came along about, I don't know how long ago it was, now it must be about 5 years ago, was it? And just sort of as if he knew everything about the sort of music that we needed to do and how to get that sound on his Fender bass. And he was very, very kind of well-read in that, studied in that sort of environment, musical environment. And the same goes for Pat, who came along a bit later. And actually the same goes for Mark on guitar, who came along to the band and started to kind of get a sense of what I wanted from the guitar. And it, last year we were stood in front of George Benson. We did a support slot for George Benson. And at that point, I watched Mark watching George. And it was this incredible thing was going on there. And the very next gig, the whole band sounded slightly kind of amazingly better. He got that George Benson thing into what he was already doing. Sure. And so it's an amalgamation of that whole jazz funk sort of history. Mm. But as you said in your introduction, sort of taken into a kind of more into the future.
Absolutely. Well, George is so important, isn't he, to the organ quartet trio?
Yeah, in terms of composition, in terms of showmanship, in terms of sound, there's a lot to be just listening to those records and seeing him play live. It's a real education, you know.
Well, talking of education, give us a little run through what the elements are when you're dealing with the Hammond B3 organ. First of all, why is it called the Hammond B3 organ?
So it's built by the Hammond family.
Yep.
And it was built, they were watchmakers. And so it's quite a mechanical instrument. Inside, it's all kind of moving parts, metal parts that are moving and amplified by valves. Mm-hmm. So this was an attempt at recreating, and it does do it very successfully, a pipe organ. You know, a church organ. So this would be your 16-foot pipe here. And then an 8-foot pipe and a 4-foot pipe and a 2-foot pipe is going up to give a full, rich kind of set of pipes, really. And when they built this instrument, they ran tests because the people from the world of pipe organs were kind of angry about it, and they got some specialists in, blindfolded them, and did A-B, and they couldn't tell the difference.
Wow.
Yeah, so the instrument arrived. And this was before the Leslie. This is the Leslie speaker over here. Mm-hmm. This is a rotating speaker, which was built by a completely different group of people. And Mr. Hammond was very angry about the Leslie and didn't want it to be associated with the... So this instrument was a very middle-class, mid-states American sort of churchy instrument that got seized upon by a guy called Jimmy Smith, who totally subverted it and made it into something really subversive and really exciting. And he messed with it in a way that was... infuriating to the Hammond family, but which he was the first guy to make it sound cool.
And it's now the stuff of legends. It's a particular sound that now added to not only jazz, R&B, but popular music.
That's right.
That has completely changed the landscape of what we think of in music texturally.
That's absolutely right. It's integral to the sound of music in the same way as a violin is. And it was picked up by obviously bands like Deep Purple and you know, a lot of rock bands and The Faces and Pink Floyd, bands like that. But essentially it was introduced to that market via the jazz idiom, via Jimmy Smith. He was the first, he was the pioneer to come along, and he was the granddaddy of this instrument.
What specifically did he do? There are all these draws and stops,
yeah.
And these the keys, are some of them are black,
yeah.
Some of them are white. Where they shouldn't be.
Yeah, these are the presets down here. I mean, what he did was he took the instrument into a warehouse and experimented with it for months and months and found one sound. I mean, there's a million different combinations, but he found that if you put the vibrato setting onto the actual C3 setting, which is why it became known as the C3, and you pull these three bottom stops out, you get the Jimmy Smith sound. And so he kind of realized that by pumping the pedal, the volume pedal,
yep.
and using this very basic sort of setup with the pipes, with the drawbars, he kind of initiated something which sounded quite cool and streety and urban. Mm. So he expressed himself through the instrument, really. You know.
What drew you to it? Were you already playing organ? Were you playing pipe organ in church?
No. I had some piano lessons when I was a kid, but I was a little mod, and I was listening to the Small Faces,
right,
and Booker T and the MGs. Mm. So Stax and sort of soul records, Motown records, and the kind of English 60s equivalent, you know.
Mm.
And then I heard Jimmy Smith.
Right.
And also a guy called Brian Auger, who was kind of like the next step on from Jimmy Smith in terms of he took that sound and manipulated it a bit more. So these were the guys that were kind of in my record collection. But by and large, if I heard organ on the television as a teenager, or any time I heard an organ record, I had to have it. So my collection was just anything that it might not even be Hammond. I mean, I was into the Doors, and that was a Vox Continental, and I was into Harry Stoneham. He was playing a Lowry. So anything that had what I thought was a good organ sound. I wasn't into pipe organ. I am massively into pipe organ now, but that came a lot later.
So had you already been playing piano then? Were you?
Yeah.
That was your instrument?
Yeah, bits of Bach. And I got invited to join a rock band.
Mm-hmm.
And so I turned up with a kind of a Casio that did a kind of vaguely sort of electric organ sound, you know, and then sort of set my sights on trying to find a real Hammond. That was when I was about 15, 16.
And so you took that journey, and now we have the JTQ.
That's right.
So the band is augmented by the trumpeter Nick Smart. We didn't hear him on the first tune, but he's going to play it on the next two tunes.
That's right.
And what does Nick bring to the band that has so formulated its identity as a quartet?
Yeah, I mean, we've always had horns coming and going, and sometimes we work with two horns or even loads of horns. Mm. But Nick is kind of the governor of the horns,
right,
if you know what I mean. So it's his section. Yeah. He puts that together. Yeah. And if we're stripped down and we're compromised, then we will take just one horn, and that will be Nick. So Nick's very jazzy.
Great.
You know, and brings that colour to what we do.
Nick is going to play on the next tune, which I'm going to leave you to introduce.
Okay, this is a Marvin Gaye number. This is called Don't Mess With Mr. T.
Thank you.
firing us up there with Parallelo. That was the James Taylor Quartet, and it featured the drumming of Pat Illingworth. And before that, they added Nick Smart on trumpet, and they were playing Don't Mess With Mr. T. And we'll be returning to James and the guys in session here with me at the BBC Maid of Ale Studios later on the show. Well, now we move to the highly anticipated new Christine Tobin album called A Thousand Kisses Deep, where she celebrates the music of Leonard Cohen. Since receiving the Angel Award at last year's Edinburgh Fringe for this set of music, the wait is now over. This is the title track.
The ponies run, the girls are young, the odds are there to beat. You win a while, and then it's done, your little winning streak. And summer now to deal with your invincible defeat. You live your life as if it's real, a thousand kisses deep. I'm turning tricks, I'm getting fixed, I'm back on Boogie Street. You lose your grip and then you slip into the masterpiece. And maybe I had miles to drive and promises to keep. You ditch it all to stay alive, a thousand kisses deep. Are there to beat. You win a while and then it's done, your little winning streak. And summon now to deal with your invincible defeat. You live your life as if it's real, a thousand kisses deep, a thousand kisses deep, a thousand kisses deep.
A Thousand Kisses Deep from Christine Tobin's new album of the same name. And Christine sings this homage to the work of Leonard Cohen in celebration of his 80th birthday at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club in London this coming Monday, the 17th of March, with an exceptional band featuring guitarist Phil Robson, pianist and accordionist Hugh Warren, double bassist Dave Whitford, and percussionist Adriano Adewale. And there's lots on at Ronnie's, with pianist Jason Ribello on tonight. And this coming Tuesday, saxophone great John Toussaint launches his new album, Tate Song, there with his quartet. And John will also be joining me on a future edition of Jazz Lineup, so look out for that. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Coming to you from our studios at BBC Maida Vale, and coming up later on the show, stay tuned for more session music from our very special guest band, the James Taylor Quartet, plus special guest trumpeter Nick Smart. Well, time now for our regular monthly feature, Now's the Time, with Kevin Legendre, where he shines a light on an album from the recent past worthy of recognition. And as mentioned at the top of the show, it's Alternating Currents from Denis Baptiste. Kevin, why this one?
I chose this because I feel that it's an album by a great saxophonist who was coming into his own as a composer. This is his second album, released in 2001. And it really showed how well Denis was writing as well as playing. And it also highlights the strength of the quartet, which is really the core of this album, with various guests as well. So there are lots of different elements that come together.
The quartet is Andrew McCormack on piano, Larry Bartley on the bass, Tom Skinner on drums, Denis Baptiste, of course, is on tenor saxophone, tenor and soprano. And it's augmented by whom?
Well, there's a horn section which has Kevin Robinson on trumpet and Winston Rollins on trombone. On some of the other tracks, you also have vocalists, Juliet Roberts and Cleveland Watkiss. Mm-hmm. And one of the star guests as well is the guitarist Martin Taylor.
Well, let's get straight into it and hear those alternating currents, because we're going to hear the title track of the album.
Which is a really punchy way to start. You'll hear the horn section, which I think gives the quartet almost a little bit of a Jazz Messengers feel. They're playing these really nice skipping, dancing triplet lines to begin with. And then it kind of stretches out a little bit. There's a change of tempo, change of mood, a change of texture. And I suppose the big dramatic moment in the middle is when Denis actually switches from tenor to soprano, which really gives you a whole different range of colours. And then towards the end of the piece, there are more Latin style rhythms that come in. They were implied in the beginning, but they become more explicit at the end. So it's a really nice narrative arc that unfolds, gives you a journey through these various textures, which you probably hadn't thought of when you first started listening to the piece.
This is Alternating Currents. Thank you. Alternating Currents from tenor and soprano saxophonist Dennis Baptiste, with his core quartet of Andrew McCormack, Larry Bartley, and Tom Skinner. Now we're moving to a piece that adds the guitar. It's called The Kraken.
Which is that legendary monstrous squid or octopus or some kind of deep sea monster, I think. And it's a very moody track. I mean, rhythmically, I think it's very clever. It's kind of almost like a slow funk, if not a fast reggae. If you listen to what Tom Skinner's doing on the drums, really, really nice rippling rim shots, but also quite a busy bass drum that he's using as well, which gives it this push, yet at the same time, everybody's still quite relaxed, and the melody seems to flow over this rhythm. Dennis and Martin Taylor playing this melody in unison. I think that combination of the tenor sax and the guitar works really nicely. And then towards the middle of the piece, when Martin takes his solo, there's a very, very wise, very, very artful use of space. You know, he's a very capable player, as you know.
He's more than capable.
But he doesn't actually go overboard and play lots of really, really long, busy lines. You know, there's a lot of space that he leaves. I think the way that he opens it with this kind of curling, sustained note just teases you, tantalizes you. And then he leaves these other spaces throughout the solo as well, which work really, really nicely with the whole mood of the piece.
Well, let's have a listen to The Kraken. Thank you. Dennis Baptiste and the Kraken, featuring the wonderful guitar sounds of Martin Taylor. And Dennis is playing some concerts, isn't he?
He is. There's a high-profile appearance at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival. You can actually see him on the 3rd of May at the Town Hall. And I was talking earlier about the way that he's grown as a composer as well. He's actually going to be doing his other project, Let Freedom Ring, mm-hmm. which again showcases just how good a writer he is. But I think this album is very important in terms of his development. The first album, which was called Be Where You Are, came out in 1999, which was an auspicious debut, to say the least. But I think that he definitely went one step further down the road as a composer and arranger with this record.
And he had a lot of good support from Gary Crosby.
Absolutely.
He went through the various groups that Gary had created to nurture young players.
Absolutely. Tomorrow's Warriors, New Troop.
So there's this tradition, if you like,
absolutely,
that Dennis has benefited from. The next piece that we're going to hear features the wonderful vocals of Juliet Roberts,
who we're fans of from the days of Working Week. I mean, this is a very important piece because the lyric is socially conscious. You know, it's talking about important things, the fact that all is not well in society, that there are things that we need to deal with. But I think the lyrics are actually poignant without being too preachy. I think they managed to strike exactly the right tone, and Juliet's vocal performance, again, is very heartfelt and very sensitive. And Dennis doesn't play that much on this tune. He just does a few fills in between the vocal choruses. But again, everything just works perfectly. So this is a moving piece, I think. It's important to listen to what she's saying and what she's singing about, as well as listening to how well the band play.
Dennis Baptiste featuring the vocals of Juliet Roberts. This is Stop and Look Around.
Why do we always give love time when it is new to us? Then in a heartbeat turn around, 'cause we don't care. Seeking the path of riches and fame, playing the meaning of life in a game. Ask me who it is to blame and I'll sing the blues. Why do the birds always fly away for the winter? Is it because they smell the fear that we can't see? Are we really getting on when Troubleman sings what's going on? Or are we back where we belong, singing the blues? Why am I so lonely?
Why am I lonely?
Have we gone and lost our way? All of my hopes are for you only. Can we stop and look around? They say you only get what you deserve and can handle, but I'm telling you, life's a heavy load to bear. Little black boys are pricked in pain, young girls in cars take their lives in vain. I'll sing to you this refrain in the blues. Thank you.
Dennis Baptiste with Stop and Look Around, featuring the vocals of Juliet Roberts. Thank you, Kevin, for sharing that. And please stick around for the session music coming up next. And don't forget to catch Dennis Baptiste at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival, which runs from April 30th to May the 5th. And he's playing on the 3rd of May at the Town Hall in Cheltenham. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Coming to you from the BBC's legendary studio here at Maida Vale, which has welcomed the great and the good, including the Beatles, David Bowie, and amongst many other things, was home to the BBC Radiophonic Workshop featuring sound pioneers like Delia Derbyshire of the Doctor Who theme fame. There's a great sense of history walking through the corridors here. In fact, I just passed the BBC Symphony Orchestra rehearsing, and elevated above the control room window is the plaque which reads, Bing Crosby recorded his last session here in 1977. And we add the band featured in session today with us now to that illustrious list, the James Taylor Quartet, featuring trumpeter Nick Smart. Mark Cox is on guitar, Andrew McKinney on bass, Pat Illingworth drums, James Taylor on the Hammond B3 organ. So let's hear them now with the piece Don't Pass Me By.
Thank you.
The James Taylor Quartet with Nick Smart on trumpet and Don't Pass Me By. And James, you're going to have to calm down a little bit while you come to join us.
That's
there was
right.
So much energy there. Well, we've got Kevin Legendre here with us, and I'm sure that seeing James Taylor in the quartet must remind you of days gone by.
It takes me back to the 80s when I used to see James at Dingwalls
right.
in Camden. So yeah. It's really fantastic to hear him in this setting. Mm. But that energy rush that we used to get in the club on a Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
Listening to that group dancing and just the sheer joy of the music. I mean, you hear that today as well. So it's fantastic.
And on that piece, there were solos featured there, as well as from Nick Smart, from Andrew McKinney on the bass and Pat Illingworth on the drums. You guys were firing it up. So this is all part, you've got a big concert coming up very soon at the Queen Elizabeth Hall, because there's been a big renovation at the Royal Festival Hall.
That's right, the organ there. We've been invited to play a classical music festival, which is wonderful to be able to take what you do and then kind of somehow attach it to a slightly different musical idiom. It's something that we're quite good at. We play jazz festivals, we play rock festivals, we play all kinds of play. And now we're playing a classic music festival, and I've written some tunes for a choir,
right.
A cathedral choir, which is going to join us on stage, and we've got a huge horn section. So we're going to be playing some of the Jimmy Smith big band arrangements that he recorded but never performed live, things like The Cat and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. And we're also going to be playing some kind of more kind of like Mendelssohn-y type sort of choral pieces with us grooving along underneath. So we've written some stuff specially for that. And that's going to be on Monday, the 24th of March at the Queen Elizabeth Hall.
And James, your gig is part of the Pull Out All the Stops Festival, which runs from Tuesday the 18th of March to Saturday the 7th of June. And Radio 3 will have a big presence there, I know that, and it's at the South Bank Centre. There was one thing more that I wanted to ask you about, and it was just while we were off mic, you and I spent a little time over at the piano.
Mm.
And I just wanted to ask you that, do you have a different mindset for when you play the piano than when you play the organ, because the touch is so different.
Mm. Yeah, it's a completely different instrument, actually. Mm. Looks similar because it's got a keyboard.
Mm.
But no, I mean, yeah, the basic difference is with a piano, you've got that beautiful thing that the harder you press the key, the louder the sound, and you don't have that with the organ,
right.
You know. So you're looking at manipulating the sound through the pedal, the volume pedal, and also through your choice of pipes of drawbars, and with the Leslie as well. So you manipulate the sound in a completely different way, and it gives you things that the piano won't, and the piano gives you things that the organ won't. And if I was that desert island disc sort of question, would you rather have a piano or an organ? I don't know, but I'd probably err on the side of a piano.
Right, or you'd tear yourself in half.
Yeah,
and have one half on the other.
They are a completely different mindset.
Yeah, it's great. Well, what are you going to play for us next?
The next thing is called The Exorcism.
Wonderful. Well, James Taylor, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Nice to be here, Julian. Thank you.
It's great to have you. The Augmented James Taylor Quartet and The Exorcism. Mark Cox was on guitar, Andrew McKinney on the bass, Pat Illingworth on drums, James Taylor on Hammond B3 organ with special guest Nick Smart on the trumpet, augmenting the group. And many thanks to the James Taylor Quartet. And you can see the band playing at the Pull Out All the Stops Festival at the Queen Elizabeth Hall at London South Bank Centre on March 24th. And for more details on that festival, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Don't forget, there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11. This week, Jez presents bassist Stefan Crump in concert with his Rosetta Trio. And I'll be keeping the bass theme going on next week's Jazz Lineup when I'll be interviewing emerging UK bassist and bandleader Shez Raja and profiling his new album with his collective, which features a stellar cast of musicians including saxophonist Gilad Atzmon, Shabaka Hutchings and Soweto Kinch. Talking of Soweto Kinch, I saw him the other day at the BBC Young Jazz Musician of the Year. The winner was a young saxophonist called Alexander Bone. It was a good competition. You'll be able to see that on television on BBC 4 on May the 23rd. And also on a future programme of Jazz Lineup, we will be catching up with even more details about the competition and the highlights of these wonderful young players. Till next time, bye-bye.
Jazz Lineup was presented by Julian Joseph. And there's more jazz here on Radio 3 later on tonight. A profile of the teenage trumpet prodigy Lee Morgan, who won crossover stardom with his irresistibly groovy hit The Sidewinder. Geoffrey Smith surveys his meteoric career tonight, one cut short by his death in a shooting at just 33. That's Geoffrey Smith Jazz, and it's at midnight tonight. And before it, our weekly focus for the contemporary and cutting edge in the musical world here and now. Tonight it has a French focus, the music by Pierre Boulez, Eric Tanguy and Pascal Dussapin. That's all here on Radio 3 from 10 o'clock tonight.
You love listening to Radio 3? Well, come and watch us at work. Beginning on Monday, for 2 weeks, we've moved to London's South Bank Centre. Come and celebrate the Pull Out All the Stops Organ Festival with 15 live concerts to enjoy. Plus, you can watch many of your favourite Radio 3 programmes broadcasting live from our pop-up studio.
Good morning to you. Warm welcome to breakfast.
Thank you, Fair Chalk.
Including
to
breakfast, essential classics,
Sean Radley with you,
In Tune, The Choir,
Good morning.
CD
How
Review,
you like your song,
Free Thinking, World on 3, and Afternoon
I'm
on 3.
Terry, and this is
Katie Derham. On air and online, beginning on Monday, Radio 3 live at London's South Bank Centre. Come and join us.
And indeed, in a couple of minutes' time, London South Bank Centre is where we are for this evening's Radio 3 Live in Concert. Pieces by Charles Ives, John Adams and the Berlioz Symphonie Fantastique. That's in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, one of the preludes in jazz style by the Ukrainian Nikolai Kapustin.
Thank you.
the last but one of the preludes in jazz style by Nikolai Kapustin. There are 24 preludes in all, inspired by Chopin, said the pianist with Stephen Osborne. And so to this evening's Radio 3 Live in Concert. It's from the Royal Festival Hall in London, and there to introduce it for us, and indeed the concert audience, is Sarah Moore Peach.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to the Royal Festival Hall. I'm Sarah Moore Peach, and we are live right now on BBC Radio 3 for the beginning, the official beginning, of two very exciting weeks for BBC Radio 3. We're about to start a two-week residency here at South Bank Centre, and from Monday morning we're going to be broadcasting live from a pop-up studio out in the foyer of the Festival Hall, a glass box. As you leave the concert this evening, have a look at the box, find out where it is, and a very warm welcome to you all to come along, watch us at work, take part in workshops, and of course listen live on Radio 3. Now, we are not the only ones in residence at the moment. The San Francisco Symphony is here all weekend as well, of course. Tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, they're performing Mahler's Third Symphony, which we're also broadcasting live. So do come to that and tune in live as well. And tonight, the orchestra is playing Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique. Also on their programme tonight, Absolute Jest, a piece which the American composer John Adams wrote for them and the St. Lawrence String Quartet, based on the scherzos of the late Beethoven quartets. And if you listen very carefully, you might just hear a little reference to Beethoven in the piece which they're beginning with, at least to the opening few notes of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, which crop up in disguise in one of the movements from Ives' Concord Sonata, his famous piano sonata. Now, what we're going to hear is an arrangement of the Charles Ives piano sonata by Henry Brandt, which is known as the Concord Symphony. And this movement is called the Alcotts, and it's based on the very cultured home of the Alcotts in Massachusetts. The father was Bronson Alcott, an educational reformer, and his daughter was Louisa May, who wrote Little Women.